Would you bow your heads, please? Father, we come before you believing that you are the author and finisher of everything that we are, and that you do well. But more than anything else, we need to comprehend today what your word says so that we can go forward in obedience, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to go to Colossians chapter 1. The Lord woke me up at 2 a.m. this morning, and I'm not advertising getting up at 2. It's just the way it happens. And I had the privilege of listening to the word of the Lord on several hours of driving this past week. And one of the outstanding scriptures that came to my heart back in again this morning at 2 was Colossians chapter 1. Now, when God begins a work in us, he begins a work to change us from what we were to what we need to become. And there's many things that happen to us and in us that we don't understand. And if we did understand, we'd be God. So since we're his children, we need to take from him and really accept what he's trying to make us see through his word. In this particular scripture, it's going to probably prod some of the things that you have believed about Christianity and shake it a little bit and give you, hopefully, a different perspective. A godly view at yourself. Sometimes we look at ourselves and we're only looking with the knowledge that we have of ourselves. But the sweet part of God is that he knew us before we came into this realm. He knows us now, and he knows even where we're going to land.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, if you take that into consideration, it's like a mother who's looking at a five-year-old. She knew the baby when he was born. She's also expecting that baby to grow up and mature to become like her, like herself and like her dad, or the father of the child. But she's got an idea already about the future. It may not be accurate, but it's an idea. The same thing happens from God's perspective when we begin to look at ourselves the way he says, I look at you. So if you get his opinion of you and begin to trust him, what happens is you become a different person. And you become motivated to believe what he says about you rather than what you might have believed for many years. So what I'm about to give you is words that will activate what God says that he's already completed and done to manifest now, not next year, now, today. Every single thing that he's prepared is now. It's today. It's never for down the road 100 years. Just like the prophet of doom. Oh, 2011, all done. You're all done. 6 o'clock. It even made the headlines. Nobody took off. Nobody disappeared. No airplanes got emptied. Guess what? There are false prophets out there. So what I'm also giving you is you go back to the word, you check it out, you look at it, you understand it, and then speak it back to yourself. And I stress that when you speak it back to yourself, you'll activate Romans 10, 9 and 10. When you declare with your mouth what God says about you, things will change. Colossians chapter 1. I want you to kind of pay attention to the very first verse. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. If you look at that, what does it really say? It's the will of God to make Paul an apostle. It wasn't Paul's idea. It was the will of God that Paul became who he was. Amen?
Amen.
So now close your eyes for a moment. Say, it's the will of God that I'm right here.
Right now.
Listening to this word.
It's God's plan.
To mature me.
And make me whole.
It's also his prayer. That I believe it for a change.
Amen?
Okay. So again, watch. To the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. So I could say, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ in Chicopee right now. Amen?
Amen?
Grace and peace to you from God the Father. Verse 3, I want you to kind of listen because it's important. It's based on the thing that I believe will activate what we're trying to make you see. We always thank God the Father for our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you. So notice he's focused on the Heavenly Father, the Creator. He's focused to acknowledge him and to recognize that he's our Savior's Father. He's the Savior of everything that is here. Okay? I want you to go now to verse 11. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father. Notice again, giving thanks to the Father. For what? For being strengthened with all power according to what I am able to lift with my right hand. It's not what the word says. It's according to what? According to his glorious might. So that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks. Every time you don't understand something about your life, about your relationships, about the school situation or the children's situation or even your adult circumstances, Lord, I thank you. And I thank my Heavenly Father because he's got a plan. It's a good plan. But it doesn't always feel good. Amen?
Amen?
While it's not feeling good, it is, however, strengthening you with his glorious might, with great endurance and patience, and even a little bit of joy once in a while. Amen?
Amen.
Now, watch, he says, verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. What does qualification mean? If you are qualified to be a human being, what do you need? You need a body. Amen? You can't be a human being without a body. You need a spirit. Amen?
Amen?
You need a soul, a mind, a will, and emotions. Otherwise, you're not a human being. Did God create robots?
No.
He created what?
Human beings.
I know Joyce Meyer says, remember, you're a being, not a human doing. That's true. God did not create human doings. He created human beings. So your job is to be. Amen?
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, there's nothing to do.
Just be you.
Be a human being. Because
God has qualified you.
Hallelujah. Qualified you for what? Verse 12 again. To share in the inheritance of the saints. Oh, wow. Ooh.
Everybody wants to go to heaven, and nobody wants to
go right now.
And nobody wants to die either. They don't want to die. Dying to self is your first job. Dying to what you think is right. Dying to what you perceive you should be doing. Dying to all those things and letting the Lord create you and qualify you for what? For an inheritance with all the saints in the kingdom of light. So who qualified you to be in the kingdom of light? God the Father. Verse 13 is very important. So if you need to put a little circle around it, go ahead. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son of that he loves. Rescued from the kingdom of darkness. If I rescue you out of jail, are you still in jail?
No.
Well, why are you worried about demons and scorpions and all that crap when you're not in that kingdom anymore? See? If you're all worried about the devil and what he can do, what are you doing visiting hell? When the Father has rescued you from that kingdom of darkness. Amen?
Amen.
Again, look at your neighbor. Say, I'm giving you a heads up.
Daddy God
freed you.
Rescued
you. From the kingdom of darkness. You're not living there anymore. And I suggest don't visit. Stay in the kingdom of light.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh.
Take a deep breath. Let it go. Say, I don't have to worry about demons anymore. Their kingdom is my old life. I've been rescued. Well, but you understand what this is, so simple.
It is.
It's not complicated. Amen? He rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. In whom we have what? So if I've been redeemed, why should I feel guilty?
Because your old self wants you to feel guilty.
Aha, the accuser's on the job, huh? And how many know the accuser can be your only little skinny brain that tries to tell you if you only did it right, you'd have freedom. But there's an addition in the footnote. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, and it says in the footnotes, through his blood. Through his blood. If you look at the Amplified, which I did take out, I want to give you verse 12. And I will read to you verse 13 in the Amplified. It says, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light. Verse 13, the Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, which means that the forgiveness of our sins. Look at your neighbor and one more time says, Papa did it all.
Papa did it all.
So now you can be a human being.
No.
You don't have to be a human doing.
No.
If you want to keep working at it,
go right ahead.
I'm going without you. I'm going to be a human being. Enjoying what my Papa already paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. He washed away my sin.
He gave me freedom.
Freedom from devils.
Freedom from hell.
And freedom to enjoy.
Everything Jesus paid for.
Everything Jesus paid for.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Listen up. The kingdom of light means there's a future with joy. The kingdom of darkness says you'll never get anywhere. But the kingdom of light says you've got it all.
Yes.
Now the problem is, will you believe it? Aha! How many have a problem looking at their past and seeing their mistakes? Thank you. Stop looking. Not so easily done, is it?
No.
How many know every time you make a mistake, the accuser's trying. If you only knew. God's so upset with you. If you only knew that he's not. See, he's not upset with you. He has already said, I've rescued you. If you were in the middle of the ocean on a small ship and a helicopter comes and puts you onto a great big ship, have you not been rescued?
Yes.
Why are you living like if you weren't? We're believing the lies. How many have a problem with lying spirits? Who's the one that tells you all the mistakes you made? Yourself. See, the accuser is already sitting inside. He's called the Antichrist. And I'm not going to go there. Because everybody's thinking the Antichrist is going to show up in a few years. I've got news for you. He's been around. He's anything anti-anointing. Because the word Christ is not Jesus' last name. The word Christ means the anointed one. Are you an anointed one?
Yes.
Okay. Say, my last name.
My last name.
Is I'm an anointed one.
Is I'm an anointed one.
And there's an anti-anointed one.
And there's an anti-anointed
one. An Antichrist.
An Antichrist.
That hates Jesus.
That hates Jesus.
Can't stand his blood.
Can't stand his blood.
Can't even stand me. Because every time I get up,
they're in trouble.
How do I change the way I think about myself?
Read what the Word says and meditate on it.
Read what the Word says and meditate on it. Go ahead.
Me?
Yeah.
Bring those bad thoughts to captivity.
Bring those bad thoughts to captivity. What else?
Believe what the Word says.
Believe what the Word says. How do I choose to believe? I make a free will decision.
You just get up and say, I believe God's Word. Whether you stand on your Bible and say, I believe it, and that's that. As Pastor Doug would say, do you believe what's in this Word?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, it's God's opinion that counts. God's way that counts, God's ways and his truth manifesting inside your heart will change your outlook about your tomorrows. And you're going to be so free when you say what God says about you.
I challenge everybody to look in the mirror this week and say, I am God's child. And I believe his promises are true to me. Right, Bob?
Right. Amen.
All right. You better put a sign up in Bob's car. Give it to him to take home. All teasing aside, what we are on a journey to do is to become his children. When we become his children and we believe that we are his children, then we can begin to taste of what he's already prepared for us. If he's rescued me, then I should feel rescued. But it's going to take time. It's going to take patience with yourself. And if you see that you're going backwards, go back into the Word. Reread it during the week. Reread it to yourself. Underline the parts that are important to you, that God is really stressing. Because you see, he's really trying to get you to see yourself more than he's ever
been able to show you before. Now I want you to go to verse 15. He's talking about Jesus. He says, now he is the exact likeness of the unseen God. Okay? The NIV says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. If we comprehend that Jesus is really God in a human body, can he do it again?
Yes, he already has.
Ah, all right. Tell us more, girl.
Each one of us has received the image.
Every one of us has received the image. How? When we accepted him, he came, right?
Amen.
Uh-huh. Now, how do I manifest what the Father has already invested in me? Because the Father is love. Every time I manifest love, what happens?
Jesus
shows up. It's him. It's him in us that is changing our world. I heard a commentator the other night make a comment about what's happening in the earth. And everybody's concerned about all the different governments and the monies and all the stuff that's falling apart. And I'm not saying that it's not shaking. It is. But there is one truth. The church of Jesus Christ is also coming alive. So take a good look now. Close your eyes. Say, I'm going to keep reminding me that the church
of Jesus Christ
is coming alive.
And
I'm a part of it.
And
I will rejoice that I've been rescued.
I've been redeemed.
I've been delivered
from the kingdom of darkness.
And I'm going to enjoy
being a child
of the light.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Can I say just a couple of words?
Yes, dear.
You know, I've been telling you people that because of what I have been through, I asked Jesus to take me home. But now I say it out loud. Jesus, I don't want to die until you're ready to take me. And please use me.
All right.
So you know who can listen to
me. How many of us say amen?
Amen.
Come on, give them an amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.